baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Bedoten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network. The only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I recap Sunday's win against the Los Angeles Rams and preview the AFC Championship game rematch against the Cincinnati Bengals. But first, Joe, off air last week when we were talking about Thanksgiving, you were talking about John Madden, and you said you had actually been on the Madden bus.
I have been on the Madden Cruiser. He came and did a game. I don't think it was the game that I scored in where John Madden actually like said my name on national television, which was like literally one of my all-time thrills, right?
That's
to hear,
so cool.
Go back and listen to a recording of John Madden, you know, announce your name as getting a touchdown and not like a holding call, which was pretty damn amazing. But yeah, so he pulled up early. We were, because, you know, he used to obviously drive that thing everywhere, and he'd always get to the cities that he was working in early, and he pulled up at the old complex that, you know, is down half a mile, three quarters from the stadium where we used to, you know, work out on the field, and there it was, the Madden Cruiser, and he's like, he let us go on it, and it was,
the whole team went on?
He just kind of let people go in and out and see it, you know, not, you know, he didn't drive us all back to the stadium from the workout facility. Now, that would have been a treat.
Right.
Because, you know, we used to have to drive our own cars back and forth from the workout facility in full pads. Like, imagine you're like a visitor to Arrowhead, like complex, and you see like four guys in a car in full pads driving through the parking lot. Like, it was crazy.
That's hilarious.
And one year, Lamar Hunt let us use the tram cars from Worlds of Fun. From the amusement park. So guys, so imagine that. Imagine seeing like 15 professional football players on a Worlds of Fun amusement park tram car going down the parking lot through, you know, the tailgating area down to
the
facility.
Tram cars, like kind of golf cart, go-kart? What were the tram
cars? They were like, it was like that, you know, sometimes at like a big amusement park, like a Disney World or like a Six Flags, like they have those trams that will take you way out to like parking lot Z. You know, like, and they'll come and they'll swoop around and pick you up and you just jump on and off. So it was like a giant golf cart with like maybe eight or nine cars attached to it, you know, tram cars. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I remember driving over there and pick up to the back of pickup trucks, like, you know, just any way to get over to the facility because we just practiced there. We didn't do anything there. We just went, we had to get to the field. So. It's crazy.
Like now when they have the swank new training facility where they don't after they park there in the morning and they can just hang out all day.
Well,
there.
Yeah, like I was talking with Mike Davidson, the retired equipment manager, when I was out for the alumni game, and he was saying that every game is an away game, basically, because even the home games are technically air quote away games because they have to take all the equipment that is in the training complex over to Arrowhead. I think very rarely players are in Arrowhead anymore, except for games.
Right.
Because all the executive offices and everything are over at the complex, you know, down the road.
Well, it's a different world, and we'll get obviously more into the X's and O's of the previous game and the exciting game against the Bengals. But first, basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. Always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet online where the game starts. Joe, not a whole lot to discuss about the Rams game. They're a shell of the team that just won the Super Bowl. Third string quarterback, makeshift offensive line, no Cooper Kupp. But Joe, I'm worried about the Chiefs special teams. I think the Chiefs are the most complete team in the NFL, offense, defense, But special teams could really cost him the playoffs. It's not just the inexplicable decision to continue using Sky Moore on punt returns, but the Rams converted a fake punt, and that's the second time that's happened against the Chiefs. And it's weird. I thought Dave Tobe was one of the best special teams coordinators in the business. I even wrote a column back in the day for the National Football Post, our good friend Andrew Brandt there who ran that. Anyhow, for a column, I wrote how he deserved to be a head coach. But Joe, the unit has been subpar all year. What are your thoughts and your level of concern?
Well, it is concerning. Let me give Dave – I'm not letting him off the hook because comparatively speaking, right, everything is comparative, right, nowadays, because you have to look at what, you know, all the other special teams are doing and kind of compare. And you're always going to have a bell curve, right? You're always going to have your top 10, your bottom 10, and then everybody in the middle, right? So about performers in any sport, whether it's in the standings or whether it's, you know, even when you're looking at the world's elite, like the World Cup right now from a soccer perspective, right? There has to be a worst team and there has to be a best team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all relative. So I want to give Dave a little bit of some benefit of some doubt and just give listeners some insight into how hard it is to manage special teams in this environment in the NFL. It's darn near impossible to get players out there who are not players that you're worried about either getting hurt or overusing them. Because with the depth that we have right now in the NFL, when you look at the roster makeup, okay, and if we were to plot out every NFL team, no matter how much their team likes to spend money or doesn't like to spend money, you're going to have 20% of the players making 80% of the money as a general rule. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just pure math, right? It's called Pareto's law, right? In life, 20% of things usually account for 80% of other things, right? You know, your best employees, 20% of your top 20% of your employees do 80% of the work, right? And everybody else is just kind of there. Mm-hmm. And in the NFL, sometimes, you know, you get some teams, Jeff, where it's like 10% of your players are making 90% of the money. Well, don't forget, there's a cap. Mm-hmm. There is a bucket of money that mathematically gets eaten away when you're paying Patrick Mahomes $500 million. Or you're paying this rookie, this big cut, Christian, like it starts adding up. So what happens, Jeff, it's finite. It's like when I was a little kid, we used to play, it was called rotisserie baseball, and we would all get 100 pennies and we would bid on players and we would keep stats. It was like the precursor to fantasy football. Kansas City listeners remember George Brett. Let's say George Brett's in the prime of his day and somebody bids 25 cents. And then somebody says, well, I'll give you 28 pennies. Next thing you know, the bid goes up to 50 pennies and you're left with 50 pennies to round out the rest of your roster. Mm-hmm. It's no different, right? That visual is no different for a capologist who works for the Kansas City Chiefs. So this story is going somewhere, Jeff.
Where you're going. It's a great analogy.
It was a slow week with the Rams, right? Big win. We got a big game coming up. So what happens is you have now all of these players making all of this money and a lot of players, I'm sorry, you have a few players making a lot of money and a lot of players making little money. Where do you give that money to? Rookies. So when you go up and down a roster these days, Jeff, and you look at a roster in the NFL, whether it's the Chiefs or whomever you may take a look at their roster, start looking at the age and experience of the players, okay? And you're going to see, like, for example, I'm looking at the Chiefs roster right now, okay? And if my math can be fast counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They have 12 players who are rookies or 1 year. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, almost 11 players, 10 or 11 players with 2 years of experience. So almost a third, more than a third of your roster is made up of players with less than 2 years, 2 years or less of experience. You go the other end. You've got Chad Henne, 15, Carlos Dunlap, 13. You only have three players, Jeff, three players on the Chiefs roster who have double-digit years of experience in the NFL. So what does that tell me? That tells me that when you're rounding out your roster and you're putting people on special teams, who are you using? All of those guys that don't have a lot of experience. So where I'm going with this incredibly long dissertation on the salary cap, I got to give Dave Tobe a little bit of a off the hook here in that, think about go just listeners, go out to the ro look at the roster and look at the depth and length of the time in the league with the players. You don't have like I'm going to go back to players. My roommate Greg Minuski, 15 years in the NFL, played like 10 snaps a season at linebacker, but he was our special teams captain. Right? You had players like Tracy Rogers. I had there were tight backup tight ends. I think about guys like Derek Walker. Keith Cash played a lot of special teams, right? Because we didn't use the tight end position, that H back, a lot, right? So you had all these like 6, 7, 8 year backups playing special teams who were experienced players. And the NFL has completely flipped that narrative on its head. And so I guess everybody can draw their own conclusions now. Where I'm going is that it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to do what a special team coach needs to do with the limited resources, that he has. I know they threw Justin Watson in, right, to catch some passes, but he's been playing an integral part in the offense. If he gets hurt, there goes another depth. I mean, I know same you could say the same thing for Sky Moore, but he's still a rookie. And that's what you want rookies to be able to do, is to contribute in that area. And I'm telling you, it's coming back to bite them a little bit. It's coming back to bite a lot of teams because they just don't have that depth at special teams anymore.
Yeah, and Coach Reed, when he was asked about this, he did say youth is a big factor. And maybe it hits the Chiefs a little bit harder because, like you said, they have a quarterback who's deservedly making $500 million. And everyone was trying to send Sorensen, Daniel Sorensen, out of town. While he was not very good in the secondary, he was a really good special teamer, and they've lost
Yeah.
some guys like that.
But Jeff, when you hit 4 years under the new collective bargaining agreement with the union, when you hit 4 years, your salary jumps up exponentially. And if you've got to pay guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, well, who are you going to round your roster out with? Guys making the league minimum. And once you hit 4 years and you're not a full-time starter, it's really hard to keep those guys around anymore.
All valid points, really interesting stuff there, Joe. But I still know that the Sky Moore thing,
Yeah.
like that is a hard decision to defend. I know their Kadarius Toney was hurt. Justin Watson did kind of he was doing a solid job as a punt returner. He was, and that is just that was questionable. And I think you're right that I think it's the youth. I think he's still a good coach, Dave Tobe, but it is like, teams are they're always trying to steal possessions against the Chiefs. We saw the Jaguars attempt an onside kick and convert. Colts went for it on fourth, and now we saw the Rams do it. Teams are going to keep doing this. Like they've seen, it's on tape. That's three instances I've mentioned where teams got an extra possession. So the Chiefs have to clean this up.
Yeah, no, it's a must. I mean, Marty, if there's anything that was emblazoned in my coaching brain, as I went on to help coach and do some high school coaching, it was always getting in the coach's ear where I was working to push special teams and to push that third part of the game, that third leg of the stool. Because man, you can win games with special teams. You can just as quickly lose games with special teams errors and issues. And it can change a game, not just lose the game on points, but it also can change the momentum of a game too and lead to a loss if you're not careful. So, yeah, it's a lot of cleanup. And I'm sure if there's any coaching staff in the NFL that is going to listen to what's going on and pay attention, it's Andy Reid and his
I
coaching
thought you
staff.
said if
So,
there was any coaches staff that listens to our podcast,
well, they're going to make sure that they, yeah, exactly. Well, I know that,
I
so Andy, now that you're listening, make sure clean up the special teams.
that was. And now a word from ButcherBox. Joe, like Bill Belichick infamously said, and he actually saw this after the Patriots got smacked around by the Chiefs. On to Cincinnati. So we're on to Cincinnati, a
Yeah.
rematch. This should be an exciting game. Bet Online has the Chiefs favored by 2 points. Obviously, a rematch of the AFC Championship. Get the Chiefs lost to the Bengals in overtime. The Chiefs also lost to Cincinnati toward the end of the regular season. I think this is going to be a really good game, Joe, but hard to bet. Now, I thought at the time, there's no way the Chiefs are going to lose this AFC Championship game. They're not going to lose twice to the Bengals in a month. I'd be really, really shocked if they lost, 3 times in a year. But again, that's the line of thinking I had last time. But got to think that the Chiefs are going to be extra motivated, especially Patrick Mahomes, who did not ha who has repeatedly admitted to how poorly he played in the second half of that AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and you got to give a little bit of credit to the Bengals and
For
not pin it
sure.
all on Patrick. I think they were rushing three, they're dropping eight because they knew the Chiefs weren't going to run the ball. I think with what Isaiah did against the Rams, what the running game is starting to shape up and look like. I think the Bengals are going to have to defend this Chiefs team differently than they did in the second half of the Bengals game. That's when they made all their halftime adjustments, right? They made those big halftime adjustments and basically said, all right, we're just going to let you try to beat us with the run. And the Chiefs never tried. They never, even though they were only rushing three, they dropped eight in coverage, and it worked for the Bengals in that game. I don't think that the Bengals are going to have that luxury this year. I think this running game's looking a little bit differently than it was last year. So I'm kind of excited to see if the Chiefs can keep, seven, eight up in the box to try to stop Isaiah. Because it sounds like he's going to get the bulk of the carries. I just, it just sounds like he's going to be the one that they're going to go with.
Especially with Edwards-Helaire now injured, they obviously have Melvin Gordon, but he just joined the team,
Yeah,
still
that's
practicing
going to be a
well.
tough one. They could maybe in a week or two get him some in the mix. But I think what they're doing right now in the run game and just going back and looking at the Rams box score, right, and thinking about what the Chiefs did in that game as far as spreading the ball around. My God, Patrick was out of his mind, right? When you think about, the number of receivers and how many targets they all had and how many catches they all had. It was stunning, right? I mean, Travis had four, MBS four, Juju three, Sky five, Justin two, Jody Fortson two, Jerick McKinnon three out of the backfield, Ronald Jones, Isaiah had a, couple each, and then one each, and then Noah Gray had two passes. So, I mean, my God, when does that ever happen, And I think this is going to be a totally different team that the Bengals are going to be looking at that they looked at in the second half of that game, which was kind of a, not only sugarcoat, it was a disaster.
And the Bengals, they start at 0-2. They are kind of rounding into form. Their offensive line seems to have come together, and they've been banged up, but guys are getting healthier. Joe Mixon missed the last game, so did Ja'Marr Chase. They might both be back. They're a good team. I was very surprised what happened last year, but the Bengals are a legit team. Joe, give us a matchup to watch, and then also your prediction for this game.
Well, I'd have to say if what I'm going to watch, right out of the gate, two things. When the Chiefs have the ball, I want to see what they're going to do with the run. Are they going to force Cincinnati to not, just go into complete nickel and dime defense like right away? Are they going to try to control the clock and make linebackers come up? I think so. I think look early to see what the Chiefs do in the running game and what our offensive line can do against their D line, and then what Patrick can do once things open up. On the other side of the ball, the one I'm most intrigued by is this Chiefs pass rush. It was something that we talked about, Jeff, all off season, early in the season. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get to the quarterback? I mean, guys like Carlos Dunlap, everybody's stepping up and getting after the quarterback, right? And Chris Jones, it's helping Chris Jones, right? Because
He's
now,
having a, it's helping him, and Jones by himself is having a spectacular year.
he is, and he's using the game plan. Spags is using the game plan. Spags is using other players to free him up, and I'm really excited to see what our pass rush can do to Joe Burrow to get after him. We talked about that, I think, last year, right? Wasn't there some kind of like crazy game before where they sacked Joe Burrow like 9 times and their line was, wasn't giving Joe Burrow a second back there. I think if we can get back to getting him out of his game, I think that's going to be one of the most important things, is just keeping him from gaining confidence. He's a confidence player, right? He plays with a little bit of a swagger. And I think if we can get after him and make him question where guys are going to be coming from, I think that's what I would be looking for when the Bengals have the ball.
Joe, that was going to be my key too, that the Bengals started out so poorly, their offensive line looking just like they did last year, despite a lot of offseason moves, Lyle Collins being probably the major one. But they've kind of solidified. The Chiefs to that pass rush is looking really good. 13 sacks the last 3 games. So I really think it's going to be in the trenches. And that's, was one of the keys. The AFC Championship loss. I mean, they couldn't bring, they had several times. You remember when Jones had Burrow in his grasp, when they couldn't bring him down. So that I think too, that's the going to be the key to this game. And Joe, it's funny, we're talking about these rematches here. And again, I think the Chiefs win this in a close one. But like the Titans had all offseason to seethe over. They were the number one seed. The Bengals came in there. They sacked the Titans sacked Joe Burrow's a ton of time, but Ryan Tannehill struggled and the Bengals upset them. So if they were played last weekend, I'm gonna like the Titans have gonna have so much motivation. The Bengals still defeated them. So you never know. Joe, what's your prediction? And maybe give a little sense of the motivation of the players when you've lost to a team in the playoffs, how the players that motivation factor.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time, right, Jeff? I live by the Marty Schottenheimer, philosophy. The next game is your biggest game, and I do believe that. In every aspect of my life, I try to live that. The next thing in front of you is the most important thing. But the big but, listen, players are always putting circles on a calendar on certain games. I can't come on. They're human beings who are motivated all in different ways. And the fact that this team in one half of football kept the Chiefs from going back to the Super Bowl, that's it's it stings. And I think whether players were looking past all the other games or not to get to this game, this is definitely one of a few that were probably circled on a lot of players' calendars. I have to admit it. I know players shouldn't do that because you want to win them all and you want to treat every team with the respect they deserve, but you know that these guys are coming out with a chip on their shoulder about this game, and they don't want, and the coaching staff too. I'm sure the coaching staff was just as motivated by this game and what happened last season to the Bengals twice, that they don't want that to happen again either. So I think there's a lot of extra motivation. Not that you need extra motivation in professional sports, but sometimes you do. And I think they're going to come out, kind of loaded for bear. The score of this game, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I know as the Chiefs were struggled a little bit in the red zone. I know they beat the Rams by a big margin, but I just felt like they probably should have scored more points in that game than they did. So I think we're going to see a similar type score out of the Chiefs. I think we're going to see like a 26-point game out of them because the Bengals are, a little bit better than the Rams. So I'm thinking like 26 to 21. I think the Chiefs win this game. I think the Bengals are going to get on the board. Burrow's going to do Burrow things and make some plays happen, especially if Mixon's back and they can mix in the run game. No pun intended. But I think it's definitely going to be a closer one than some of the other predictions I've given. I'm thinking like 26-21 Chiefs.
Another matchup to watch too. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be back. How healthy is he? He destroyed the Chiefs during their regular season matchup last year. Then the Chiefs did better against him, but they in the playoffs, but they rolled a ton of coverage. How will this new young secondary go against him? And again, Patrick Mahomes, now a father of two, curious to see how he does. And he's been described by Eric Bieniemy as being a competitive, then a word ending in CK that this is a family friendly podcast that we won't use, but he is so competitive, God. You think that he always seems to, when he has an edge like that, he raises his incredible level of play even more. So God, you think that Mahomes comes out with another really good game here.
How about score? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking pretty close to what you're saying. I think it might be a little bit higher scoring. I'm saying, 30-27 Chiefs, 30, 33-30 Chiefs, something like that. I think
That's fair.
I think the Bengals want to make it a low scoring game. I think they want to, muck it up a little bit. But it's funny the or it's interesting, I should say. The Bengals are people talk about Burrow and Chase and Mixon. It's a very solid defense, every level. DJ Reader on the interior, Hendrickson and Hubbard on the defensive end, edge rusher, Logan Wilson at linebacker. They've got a good secondary with Mike Hilton and Von Bell and Jesse Bates. This is a complete team, and the Chiefs are gonna have to play. If they play like they did against the Rams, the Bengals will win. The Chiefs and I the Chiefs will come out with a better effort, but they've got to play better than they did last week, that's for sure.
What they have going, of course, the Chiefs do too, but I think the Bengals have just a little bit of a different kind of momentum going, right? Like the Chiefs have a lot of we'll call it expectation momentum, right? Because everybody expected them to be here and at this point. And so, you lose a little bit of steam in that scenario. But I think the Bengals, they were down. They were down a little bit, and they're rolling now. It was a big win over the Titans. They've always got to play in a relatively, tough division, and beating the Steelers. I think they've, handing it to the Panthers. So, I think they're rolling a little bit. I think that it's going to be a really good game. I think the Chiefs are going to have their hands full for sure.
Joe, we started out the pod talking about Madden. Can we end it with can we get some Madden from you?
Well, I don't know about that, Jeff. You got the it's a turkey, it's a duck, it's a turducken, it's a chicken. I don't know. You got to get it all together. And that Valerio guy, the kid from Penn, he's scoring touchdowns. It's crazy.
Well done. Well done. Well, we're here every week with your Chiefs information and occasionally a great Joe Valerio
There you
impression of
go.
Madden.
There you go, buddy.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Joe, that was I'm impressed.